Coming up on this episode of the Mario Rosenstock podcast.
So that's for Northsiders in Cork and the local savages in East Cork. They've right. Big beaches there, ideal places to play hurling with their greyhounds, right? Now, if you look then, right, if you go up to, say, Myrtleville in yeah. Cork City, yeah. down west to Skull, that's for the kind of woman from Douglas who can bring herself to orgasm at the thought of a Volvo XC90.
Well, look, if you're a regular listener to this podcast, or indeed if you're a regular listener to Gift Grub, you will know that I have a special affinity with the people of Cork. I went to school in Cork during a very formative period of my life down in Ashton in County Cork. And a lot of the comedy I do centres around Cork characters, as you might know, like Roy Keane and Ronan O'Gara and Micheál Martin and all that sort of stuff. So I have a bit of an affinity with Cork and their humour and their history and even their topography. I love everything about Cork. So you can imagine how delighted I was to come across a fantastic, pure Cork comedy character called Reggie from the Black Rock Road a couple of years ago. I follow him online and Reggie's very funny. It's very, very local Cork comedy, but I think it can be kind of transposed into the generic and the general as well. Reggie is the brainchild of the journalist, writer and comedian Pat Fitzpatrick. You may have enjoyed Pat's excellent writing in the Sunday Independent for many years. He also wrote jokes for Brendan O'Connor on his Saturday night TV show, and he had a very popular fake agony aunt column in The Examiner called Ask Audrey. But one of his biggest hits has been Reggie, very old money, conservative, hugely snobby character from the Black Rock Road in Cork. And I've been enjoying Reggie's short videos on social for a while now, so I thought it was time to meet the man behind the mask and chat about the character, Cork, Corkishness, comedy, and much more.
Part of the thing in Cork, which is different to Dublin, and I remember moving up there, I've noticed it. Cork, even if you're rich in Cork, you have to pretend to be the salt of the earth, boy. So you have to like the hurling, right? You have to pretend to be interested in the hurling, even though you couldn't give a shit. So that was the big thing about Cork. You had to pretend to be salt of the earth. So that's why he's always looking out in case he gets caught saying these awful things about them then. And I give them a little prize at the end as well. So I brought out a perfume, Notions by Reggie. So it captures my essence. It's
got
Yeah, it's got some DNA, my DNA in it. It's got particles of a negligee as worn by Princess Diana. But I give them some of that to take away.
Great.
You know, people talk about Cork being overly assured and self-confident. Yeah. That's the Norries. The Norries are that soul of Cork. They think that they're the best people in the world. Mm. They don't mind. You're punching up. If you're taking a piss out of them, they'll punch you away, boy.
That's
stuck down there in the marsh on the south side. You could flood. You'll be coming up here now to buy my house.
Ironically, that you're punching up.
Yeah, look, this is it.
If you're unfortunate enough not to actually come from Cork, don't worry, it doesn't matter. You're still going to love this chat with Pat Fitzpatrick, a.k.a. Reggie from the Black Rock Road. But first up, some comedy. And one of the big stories in the last couple of weeks is Kneecap, the Irish rap band who rap Os Gaeilge. They've been receiving a lot of publicity in the United States for their performance at Coachella, in which they have been vilified by large sections of the UK press and indeed the US media for some of the statements that have been dug up that they've made on stage in the past. But it brought us to thinking, is there nothing that some musicians won't do to get in on the action of publicity? After all, there's no such thing as bad publicity, is there?
Fair play, Ronan Keating here. We cannot turn our backs on one of the most hideous crimes affecting our society at the moment. We must address the elephant on the fence. So why is it that chocolate bars are getting smaller every year in front of our very eyes? Snickers, Yorkie bars, Twirls, marginally reduced in size. Well, yes, we still pay the same prices year after year. My new single, Shrinkflation Nation, is available to download now. Let's stick it to the man. Come on!
How are you doing? It's Daniel O'Donnell here. Look, we're all sick of colonial imperialism and 800 years of barbaric oppression. It's time to build a wall around Donegal. Let's get the Brits out and keep them out, for God's sake. My new album combines folksy country music songs with aggressive Irish-type rap. Chucky, our cup of tea, is in all good record stores now. Brits out!
How are you, buddies? Keith Duffy here with a message in defence of the people of Turkey.
Turkey has been vilified by the mainstream legacy media. Their crime? Inspiring people by improving their teeth and enabling access to affordable cosmetic plastic surgery buddies like rhinoplasty. Boys Life, that is, myself and Brian McFadden, are standing up for the plight of those with turkey teeth. Myself and Brian will soon be releasing new musical ventures. Come and see us in our Blinding Smiles tour. Guys, it's Louis Walsh here. From now on, life is too short. I'm not going to waste any more time. I will only be representing from now on artists who have been convicted for public order offences. Even better if they are holding current criminal records. That's why I'm delighted to announce I will be teaming up again and managing the great Ronan Keating, whose crimes against music are legendary. His butchery of lyrics, second to none. Guys.
And exclusive new comedy every week on the Mario Rosenstock podcast. And of course, you can get in touch with me personally, mariorosenstock@gmail.com. If you have any suggestions for guests, if you have any suggestions for comedy, if you have any suggestions for any new comedy characters that might be out there that I'm missing, please get in touch with me personally. I read them all and I get back to nearly them all if I can and when I do find the time. So wait a little while if I haven't got back to you. So thanks a million for that. And please tell one other person if you can about this podcast. We're about to get to Reggie from the Black Rock Road in a second. But first, I'd like to thank our new sponsor, deluxebathrooms.ie. Deluxe Bathrooms is Ireland's premium bathroom and tile retailer. Put that bathroom of your dreams together. The bathroom you've always been dreaming of. You'll find them online at deluxebathrooms.ie, but you'll also find them in person, Dundalk Retail Park and Little Island in Cork. That's online again at deluxebathrooms.ie. They have some fantastic offers that generate huge interest all year round. So get online and have a look at them. Thanks to deluxebathrooms.ie for getting involved, not only in the Mario Rosenstock podcast, but in podcasting in general. Okay, let's cross over now to our podcast studio and join Reggie from the Black Rock Road, a.k.a. Pat Fitzpatrick. Prepare for some serious Cork talk. Pat, listen, thanks a million for joining me on the Mario Rosenstock podcast. You're here because I really adore this character that you do, Reggie.
Yeah.
And it's a comedy character, and it's a really strongly defined comedy character. And I suppose I love Cork as well, right? Because when I started Gift Grub, a lot of it was based on Cork characters, and it was the beginning of Roy Keane and the beginning of Ronan O'Gara. And I have so many Cork characters now myself that I actually, when I go to do a show in Cork, I do them according to the school they went to.
Right, okay.
So that's the way I identify them.
Yeah.
So that's how kind of that's a kind of, you know, parsing it very, 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 very thing. But tell us, for the listeners who might know it, I mean, a lot of listeners will, and a lot of listeners won't know it. Who is Reggie? What is he? What does he do? And
Reggie, by his own claim, is the richest man in Ireland, but not for tax purposes. He lives in a 7.8 million euro mansion on the Black Rock.
That figure seems to change all the time.
Just went up 7.9. Very desirable area, you know, you couldn't afford it, which is what Reggie likes about it.
Where does he live?
He lives on the Black Rock Road.
Is that the old Black Rock Road?
No, what? You see, no. In fact, that's a kind of a consolation prize for people who can't afford. But actually, as people go to me, of course, you realize people come up to me in Cork, of course, you realize it isn't the Black Rock Road at all, it's Castle Road. And then they start listing the kind of famous merchant prince families who would live down, which is the whole point of Reggie, to kind of debunk that. But he came out of my uncle Joe, actually, who was a kind of a man about town in the 70s in Cork, and he played drum. He had a kind of a booming Cork accent. Mm. And he said to me once, "Patrick, I've been all around the world, but you'll never get the lifestyle we've here in Cork." Mm. And it struck me as the most Cork thing. I think he went to France once.
Mm. I love that Cork accent. So is that the Cork?
Very deep down in your thing, and it's sing-song. You're going up at the end. You always go up the end.
Yeah.
But he had that.
There was a touch of Donal Lenihan off that.
That's now. Exactly. It is. Yeah. And he would have, like, he went to Christians and played in the same position as Donal Lenihan.
Right.
Second row in Christians.
I hear that. I hear a little bit of Donal Lenihan there when you were doing it.
And that's a very specific. Now, then Reggie is a kind of a, you know, an absolute parody of that, in that Reggie is super rich. He regards himself as the 0.1% of the Black Rock Road. So he came out of. I was writing a piece for the Examiner, Ask Audrey, which is a spoof agony aunt of people who would write in, kind of complaining usually about class-based things, that their neighbours are after buying a Hyundai or something on the Never Never or something like that. And Reggie was one of the characters who would be writing in complaining about the drop of standards. And he was a relatively minor character in it.
Yeah.
Audrey was the main character, writing back these kind of barbed comments, going to mind him. But
so it was in print?
It was in print. Mm. And then we were doing that on a rival estate, Red FM in Cork. We were actually doing that on as a podcast, really. But we were reading it out, the characters in the show. And Reggie was one of the characters. And Reggie would come on and go, listen, I have a fierce problem with people from Bannonlaw.
So he went to audio then?
He went to audio. Mm. And then COVID came and we couldn't get into the studio to record it. And one day I was actually going to RTE, to Doughy, your good friend. And I stuck a camera in my face on the South Mall. And I said, hello, Reggie here. I'd own the South Mall. Sure, I'd own half the place. I think that's pretty much what I said.
Exactly.
And I put it up on Twitter and didn't think. And it got like 30 likes, which was the most, more likes than I ever got as a person. So I immediately abandoned myself, as you've done, right? That guy never did anything for me. I'll be me Hallmark and Dahi O'Shea and Ron O'Gara. And then COVID really came and I was at home all the time and I just started doing the videos. And, you know, it was interesting. I saw you had a Micheál Martin one recently about stopping Kerry people coming over the border and things like that. And that was one of the first things. Remember when the COVID lockdown, one of the first easing of it was you were allowed to travel outside your county. And that was, I then did a video of kind of like that, of the measures that were being taken to stop people from Kerry and Tipperary. Yeah. And that was the takeoff. I think Ron O'Gara possibly retweeted it.
Yeah, okay.
But then yourself. Yeah. And then once somebody does that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's getting fired around.
But did you change the voice though then? So you stopped, a bit like Homer Simpson.
Completely, because I found...
Instead of doing this now.
I almost do it myself.
Yeah, but your one is totally different because your one has a real gossipy...
it's that kind of past remarkable
core. Oh, very much so.
Right, where you can say the most awful thing, but you've no self-awareness. Mm. You can see, you know, Rise now that he only went to Cloche to Crease
Street. But you're extremely comfortable in that character.
Well, yeah. I mean, have you met my mother?
Well,
my aunt.
Yeah, you could just do it really easily.
Yeah, but they're like this was. They would
sort of look around. You even look to your left and look to your right when you're talking about it, because that's the past remarkable thing.
Well, you see, the Cork thing as well is part of the thing in Cork, which is different to Dublin. And I remember moving up there. I've noticed it. Cork, even if you're rich in Cork, you have to pretend to be the salt of the earth, boy. So you have to like the hurling, right? You have to pretend to be interested in the hurling, even though you couldn't give a shit. Yeah. I don't know. Can I curse on this?
Yes.
Oh, right. Well, geez, I'll get going. So,
no problem.
But you know, even though you couldn't give a shit, you could. So that was the big thing about Cork. You had to pretend to be salt of the earth. And you go drinking in places like Denny's and you want dinner, 15 pints of Murphy's with the lads from the cold place across the road. I had a great night with them all together. So that's why he's always looking out in case he gets caught saying these awful things about them then, right? And it grew out of that. And the more I think of him as that kind of almost confidential character where he's whispering to you rather than talking out.
That's right. That's really works.
Then it's more interesting.
Actually, you've reminded me of something, and it's something I spotted years ago. And it's from a fellow Corkman to you, not to me. Matt Cooper.
Yeah.
And Matt Cooper has this thing, because I know it because he used to do it to me all the time. So when somebody's doing it to you, you go, what's that thing he's always doing?
Okay.
And I go, and then I figured it out, because it's only going to be a matter of while before I figure it out. And he does this. He goes, so he says, Pat, how are you? Did you hear about Mario? Right. So his thing changes, right? His mouth changes. His mouth stops moving.
Okay.
Did you hear about Mario? Mario, he's financially fucked.
Yeah. Right. The eyes move around like you.
But yeah, I heard that as well, by the way.
The mouth stops moving.
That's right.
Because it's a ventriloquist thing and he doesn't want people to see what he's saying.
Yeah.
So he goes,
oh yeah, I hear he's absolutely up to his neck in debt there. Did you hear that?
And that's the gossipy thing. And it comes...
Do you know the rumour about that is? The reason apparently that is because Cork's a market town. So you know the English market.
Yeah.
So they're all in there. So everyone's cheeked by Joel. So it runs on gossip, right? So everyone's, the whole thing in the market is, oh, we're all friends inside here now. Sure. Yeah. I'll sell you eggs.
They have to watch yourself.
But they're all kind of, like the footballers come.
Yeah, exactly. They talk to their hand.
So do you learn to talk out the side of your mouth?
Yeah, that's it.
And it is.
And that's Chan Mayo used to do that.
But it was, I think, didn't look at him. You look straight ahead.
But one of the Chan Mayos used to talk like that. There was a fella there who talked on the bench.
That's right.
And he was like,
you wouldn't be looking at you in case you wouldn't know they were talking if you were looking at them from a distance.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, the one thing you notice about Cork City is it's cramped. The city centre is small, narrow streets, unlike Dublin, right, where you've got room and you can bellow at someone. And but Cork, and I think that actually it's an example of the geography affecting the way people talk to each other. And I think it was Owen Harris who came up with that a long time ago. He said, it's like a cockpit in the market. The reason Cork people love to talk is because it's so competitive. Like in the market, you're shouting, right? That was what you had to do, you to get people's attention. And even if you know O'Connell's fish place in the English market, it's the big long
fish. Yes.
And you can't pass there. Your hair is looking lovely, girl.
Yeah.
Right, you're not even. Everybody's talking to everybody all the time.
I love that.
Yeah, and it is definitely the.
Well, I love that. Yeah. I adore that. I don't know. There's something. I've talked to a lot of people on this podcast who have a connection with Cork about Cork, not just about what they're doing or what book they have out. I talk to them about Cork, but there is that thing. So that explains the gossipy sort of the suffocating.
Yes, but also I'm taking you into my confidence here now, right? We're the best friends in the world. That's part of it as well. You know, the kind of, would you say Schlieveen? You might, which is kind of taking people into the confidence. And, you know, Cork people are kind of do well in crowds typically. Now, it's an Irish thing as well. Mm. You watch Irish people, the way they deal with individuals anywhere. Mm. There's trust, maybe it comes from you. Everybody knows.
True, it's very Irish.
Irish people act as if I immediately trust. My default is to trust you and to talk to you.
Yeah.
And to tell you, it's to tell you something I shouldn't be telling you, to be honest. But if you come here, I'll tell you.
I know, yeah.
It is, and it's, you know, you're trading now.
You're trading, yeah, because you're offering a great deal.
Yeah.
Like, I've got an offer for you that nobody else has. I said, this carpet was $59.99, now it's $10.99.
If I told you this, right, obviously I'm a great guy.
Yeah.
You're now my best friend.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. So I noticed this from this from Matt as well, that kind of, it's that Cork gossipy thing. Okay, what more about Reggie? So he's a fellow who lives on the Black Rock Road. Yeah. What does he love and what does he hate? But the thing I love about him is, as well, is his utter parochialism in terms of, like, a fella who could literally be living on one side of the street,
yeah,
of certain streets, and he'd go, that's a nobody, and the other fella's,
but doesn't everybody do, like, I mean, that's only thing that people, you know, we maintain we've no class in Ireland, right? People immediately judge, well, of course he's down the end of the park,
yeah,
right, those houses now, there's subsidence in a lot of those gardens, right? I didn't tell you that now.
I know.
But there's 30 grand off the value of those straight away. Just talking to a state agent inside in the mall, right?
Absolutely.
I didn't tell you that. But that's, immediately we judge people by school,
yeah,
right? It's the classic one, which is why, of course, he went to Prez, right? In his world, he's the president of the Captains of Cork Industry. So, you know, which is an elite body of people in Cork dedicated to, you know, the highest standards while paying zero tax.
It's one of those rotary things, isn't it?
Set it up as an alternative to the Chamber of Commerce because they were letting plumbers in, right? And accountants. And
I mean, by the way, what does Reggie do? Has it ever been established?
Well, Reggie's an expert in inheriting €73 million from his father.
73.
And well, his father was, that's what we're telling the revenue. His father, Big Reggie, as he was known around town,
right.
It was a legend on Cork. As I always say, like, what can we say about Reggie that hasn't already been said under parliamentary privilege by members of people before profit, the bastards. But anyway, you know, so he's inherited, and he's, as he always says, he's the captain of Cork industry. Like, it's, you know, it's mavericks and risk takers who just happen to work in their old man's business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Nepo babies.
Yeah, totally. And, like, there are people like that in Cork, obviously.
Mm.
Now, he's a bit of a throwback, right? You know, in a way, that isn't the money in Cork anymore. And then Blackrock Road isn't. Actually, the money in Cork is Kinsale. So it's tech bros buying €6 million.
Irish
land.
Tech bros.
An American. But, you know, I know of one tech bro, I think, who's bought 2 multi-million euro properties around Kinsale.
Mm.
But they're typically Irish, but also Americans who just are attracted to us. So that's the most expensive real estate in Ireland outside of Dublin is Kinsale now.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. No, not Cork City. Yeah. So that's why. So Reggie is, this is where Reggie's going, that he's going to almost Trump, like, trying to roll back the years, right, to make Black Rock Road great again, because the focus, the new money has completely replaced the old merchant prince, the fellas who inherited it, and the fellas who, with the kind of the pink trousers and the gilet you'd see walking down
just
the marina.
Stop there for a second, because this word, you just said it again, and I used to hear it for years, the words merchant prince, right?
Yeah.
There's no other county in Ireland I've ever heard that word applied to. A merchant prince is the only, seems to be applied to Cork.
But
there's no merchant princes in Waterford.
Do you know who they were? Like, these guys were the guys who made their money 17th, 18th century. So, you know, like, the big villas on the kind of north side of the river, some as well, Montanati.
Yeah.
Those are the merchant princes who, and it was in my last show, actually, who made their money. So they were exporting beef, beef, whiskey and butter around the British Empire.
Yeah.
And the key thing is they're bringing back spices, high value spices.
Yeah.
And sugar and things like that. And the reason they were up in these places is because they could see when their boat was in. Oh, look, the boat's back from the molasses. They're back from Jamaica. We're fucking loaded. And they made an absolute fortune.
Okay, really?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, the Barry's Tea. They're a later, but they will be referred to. So they were trading. They were grocers, right? But they traded in commodities, basically.
But they
brought them in.
Really heavyweight grocers.
Yeah. Oh, they were it. And they, because they were bringing in the high value goods.
Yeah. And of course, this port was obviously hugely important.
It fed the British Navy. This is the thing, that the Navy, a lot of the British Navy was actually fed out of, which is spiced beef, the famous Cork delicacy.
Is it?
That's to go on boats to go for 3 months. So
right.
it's cured beef. It's
okay.
Basically corned beef.
Okay. And that's, that, and just sorry, that port, I believe, is one of the only ports around that can handle the really big ships.
Now the exterior one, it's the second. This is classic Cork, now, like 10 reasons we're better than Dublin. It's the second biggest deep water port in the world.
That's right.
Yeah.
See, that's why I know, because they tell me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, no, you're given a pamphlet when you get off the train. Yeah, right. Yeah. Read that down, or it'll be a test later. Yeah.
Do you know what? But the other thing is, so just to skip slightly, I just find Cork people really funny. I mean, clearly, just because I'm a comedian and I write comic stuff and I do comic impressions and I tell funny stories sometimes, it doesn't necessarily mean, because I do know some comedians who don't have a sense of humour. That's for another podcast.
Right.
But there is such a thing as a comedian without a sense of humour. They're robotic. They know what works and they do it, but they actually don't have a sense of humour.
Yeah.
I believe, actually, I have a sense of humour, which is a different thing to being a comedian.
Correct, yeah.
And I love listening to humour, and I love humour. And Cork people are really funny. Right? That's what my opinion. That's my opinion. Maybe they're funny to me because it's fresh every time I go down there. But I remember there was a famous radio host who got into an awful lot of trouble in 2010.
I remember.
For something that happened, right? Yes. And I remember I arrived down on 2010, about 3 weeks after it, to do my first ever shows down in Cork. Oh my God. And of course, at that stage, I didn't realise local is great. You know, I was bringing Giff Grubb and Roy Keane and Bertie Ahern down to Cork, and I was going to blow them away. But they just, as soon as I got into a taxi, I got taxi, another taxi. Later that day, I got another taxi. I would have got to 5 taxis. And each of these taxi men gave me 6 perfect minutes.
That's right.
Different minutes.
Yeah.
On this individual who will remain nameless for obvious reasons. And they were, I was just going, but this is a different 6 minutes than the other taxi driver gave me. I thought they'd at least repeat themselves. And the confidence with which they were reeling it off in the front of the car.
That's right.
I was loving it.
Yeah.
They were just brilliant. They were little performers.
Yeah. You know, it goes back to what
am I exaggerating?
Were no, well, I mean, look, I can't comment. I let people from outside Cork to say we're the funniest people in the world. But and I'm touring at the moment, by the way. But no, but like I've heard it said before that you hone it because it goes back to that thing of the market. Where, and I've heard it said about Kerry people as well, where they had that kind of legacy of storytelling. You went into the pub and you told a story, and it better be a good one. You know, it wasn't like you're a shit version of the Fields of France, right? Nobody, that's not your party piece. Your party piece has got to be the best story here, and you're up against Sean Mike, and he's been telling the best stories for 10 years. So it's competitive.
Yeah, but this is it. This you've explained it maybe, but I've always wondered. You know, I people go well. You know, as Giff Grubb has always been very popular down in Cork. I call it the kind of home of Giff Grubb, really, because it's where I go to start all the tours. I start all my tours down. I start all the tours down in Cork, and I have done from the beginning. Start all the tours down in Cork. I did 6 nights in Vicar Street in 2009, and I went down to Cork, and I did 6 nights in a row. And after that, we went wherever we're going next time. We're starting here. It was just incredible. And ever since then, that was 16 years ago. I start all the tours down in Cork, and they always. Are the place which sells out first. And I was trying to work it out, and it's just not Roy Keane or Ronan O'Gara. I think it's to do with piss take.
Mm. Yes.
They are wired into the piss take.
Yeah.
Hence the lively taxi drivers in the front of the car. And also politics. Cork is deeply political. And I mean that in every sense of the national politics. So Fine Gael, obviously. Fianna Fáil, obviously. But also Labour. Also that red streak.
Yeah.
You know? And so Cork is that a deeply political town, a deeply piss-take town. They know how to do humour. And the other thing is as well, maybe, which I'm trying to make it, I'm almost making this up as I go along. When I came down there, they kind of enjoyed what I do. But then they kind of go, we're going to now make you're ours.
Right.
Right.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
We're going to cork you.
That's right.
We'll corkify you.
That's right.
Right. Well, no, Mario's, he's fucking Cork.
Yeah, he went to school in Ashton.
Exactly.
But he's still from Cork.
Like, yeah, but he already said it. He's like, he likes Cork the best anyway.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even when I go to other places, and you go to other places and you go, how are you, Galway? I love Galway.
Yeah.
And I actually end up...
I actually think it's Radio Roy, of all the things,
Cork
people that you captured. And it was Anne, was it? Was it Anne who used to read?
Anne Stillin, yeah.
Yeah. So I would almost have stolen that for a couple of characters writing it to Ask Audrey.
Yeah.
It was that kind of... Not dumb, but kind of character. Like, you know, that was.
She has 6 mobile
that
phones.
That was perfect.
She's like, a, what do you call it? Well, she's a prize pig, they call her. You
okay.
Ever heard of those?
No.
Prize pig is a radio term for.
Okay.
It's a radio term for a punter who has 6 mobile phones, and they ring into various different radio stations trying to ring prizes. And they generally win a lot of prizes.
Okay.
But they hope that the questions are random questions. Sorry, they hope that they don't like answering questions because they know nothing.
Okay, right.
So, for example, when they go, they hope that the competition is Sixth person to ring in wins the prize. So like, who's that? Anne. You've won, Anne. Great.
Yeah.
But they don't want who starred in Goldfinger? Because then all they'll say is Stephen Hendry. They don't know anything.
Yeah. But it sounded like a friend of my sister's. That was the bizarre thing. Okay. I actually thought it might have been her. Yeah. You know, and I think that was the key. But
the most truly Cork. Apart from Roy, who I came up with this thing called Radio Roy. It was the idea that Roy was getting so famous that he would ultimately end up with his own radio program, which is actually a bit prescient, actually, because nowadays everybody has their podcast. This was 25 years ago.
Right, yeah.
Imagine Roy Keane with a radio show.
Sure.
And so, but the thing, one of the key characters in it wasn't me at all. And it's one of the few characters I don't do on Radio Roy or Gift Grub. And it actually is Radio Roy's brother, Jay.
That's right.
And Jay is Eamon Fitzpatrick. And he works here. He's commercial director here.
Yeah.
And he's pure Cork and pure hurling.
That's right.
And he was the voice of the people on the street of Cork.
That's right.
We're really proud of you. But Jesus, don't make a fucking disgrace of yourself on the radio. Yeah, don't fill his gawk and all over the fucking side.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing fucking, you
but
know.
I think that depth of like, that came through in that like the characters had depth. So it wasn't like three different people as vassals to deliver gags.
Yes.
Like, it sounded like a radio show in Cork.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
And I think that's why, I always think like going back to why is Cork that kind of peculiar mix of kind of almost urban and see Cork's a big Clonmel in a lot of ways, right? That it's size wise and in almost mentality wise, you know, it doesn't define. And it's very noticeable when I came up here today. Like I got the train, Dublin is just a different magnitude. I love Dublin. I lived here for 15 years, but it's just a different beast completely. The minute there's people all over the place. Like if you go to Cork City Centre today, it's a much more tranquil place. It's just.
But my son came down with me last year. He's 17. He was 16 then, and he came down with me last year for the first time to Cork. And he just loved it. And I went, why? And he went, it's like a mini Dublin. It's like a small Dublin, but like nobody's giving you a hassle.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of people on the streets drinking and having fun. And when I say drinking, I meant standing outside.
Right, okay.
And there was a real sense of, look, it was just me, maybe it's rose-tinted glasses, but there was a real sense of non-threateningness. Now, I believe that drugs has become an issue.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Cork, it's not just Cork. Any city centre has been hollowed out. Like I was in Manchester recently. It's, you know, city centre has been hollowed out. That's the truth.
But is there still a nightlife in Cork?
I'm not sure. Yeah. And the reason I say that is I live out the country now.
Where do you live now?
Ballycotton now.
Yeah, Ballycotton.
So I have to say, I was up here today and I was thinking, you know, the way people say, oh, Dublin doesn't understand rural Ireland. But I think rural Ireland doesn't understand. I think cultures should be made go to Dublin every 6 months to kind of get a feel for it. This place changes all the time. And like you go around, walk around Dublin on a day like today. It's sunny now today.
Bloody nice.
Beautiful. And I just reminded you why I liked it. I was here for 15 years up to 2003.
Yeah.
Why I liked it so much.
Did you?
Yeah, and like anyone who ever came here, people who would come to visit from other places were kind of going, get the setting of the place. You know, I was in Purty Kitchen recently playing up in Dunleary, and then I met friends of mine
from Dunleary
for lunch the day after, and just kind of thought, like, you know, this is, you don't get this in many places in Europe. If
no,
the sun is shining at all, it's a phenomenal
city. Well, because it's a seaside capital.
Yeah.
And also, for example, somewhere like Trinity, right? It's smack bang in the centre of the city.
Green space.
Totally mad, like.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And for all the kind of bad, you know, publicity of Temple Bar, just walking up around the cobblestones today, you kind of breathe a bit.
Right.
There is, I think what happens is people, they come on a school tour to Dublin and they come up for one gig, you and the Three Arena maybe, and then they watch the news and they form opinion. And like Dublin's just changing all the time. So it's, I kind of got my sense, I'm living in a bungalow out by the sea.
Right.
And you can lose touch very quickly with the way Ireland is going,
yeah,
which is bad for somebody like Reggie, I suppose.
What about Cork stereotypes? Well, you could take it from Reggie's point of view, but do we have Cork stereotypes? Are there Cork stereotypes, even comic-wise?
Well, I mean, obviously, surely Reggie is one.
Reggie is your classic Black Rock Road snob.
That's right. I'll tell you what, Reggie's running for president. Let Reggie take over here. Reggie's running for president this year. When you look at some of the other people running, like Conor McGregor and you know, Bertie Hearn, I mean, they're both from Dublin. That isn't even the worst thing about them. But I want to tell you what I've achieved as the president of the Camsa Cork industry. The key thing I've achieved is beach apartheid. Now, I own a beautiful mansion down in Crookhaven in West Cork. You couldn't afford it, Mario, which is a lot of the reason I go there. But I can't go on the beach down there because I'll end up sitting next to some family from Macroom, because they bring their kids down to give them a wash.
That's awful, is it?
So they're all terrible altogether. Mm. Have you been in McCroom?
No.
No, nobody's. They've bypassed it now. There's no need to go. I've segregated myself and the Captain's Cork industry. I've segregated the beaches in Cork by class. So East Cork, that's from Youghal.
Yes.
All the way up to Inch.
That's right? Near Waterford, isn't it?
It's almost dangerously near Waterford.
Yeah. Right? Or is Waterford bad?
Well, I'll get into that later. Yeah, yeah. Not as bad as Tipperary, but, you know, thin line. So that's for Northsiders in Cork and the local savages in East Cork. They've big beaches there, ideal places to play hurling with their greyhounds, right? Now, if you look then, right, if you go up to, say, Myrtleville in Cork City, down west to Skull, that's for the kind of woman from Douglas who can bring herself to orgasm at the thought of a Volvo XC90. I'll tell you.
I know them.
Mario, I saw it done at a party once in Kinsale. The noise out of her was incredible. Now,
not the Volvo.
The horse.
Well, her.
Right? She brought herself to pleasure. Just imagining owning one. And there's an
XC90. That one is it. That's the real family. That's the 5-seater or 10-7.
It is for people who can't afford Range Rovers. You know, it's the kind of affordable Range Rover. And then
my wife. I said to her, "Sorry, yeah, you can carry on, Reggie, in a second."
No.
But my wife. I said to
very
my wife. I suggested my Volvo to. I suggested my Volvo. Sounds like a sexual part.
Your wife's Volvo.
Well, it's not a Volvo. Yeah. It's. I suggested the Volvo to my wife. Because we're trying to change car, and she absolutely blanched at me, and she said, "I will never be seen dead in a Volvo. It's that mammy car. It's that awful mammy car."
Well, you probably live in South County Dublin or something.
I do.
It's
yeah,
a perfectly acceptable mammy car. But you know, the kind of person in Douglas would be the similar kind of person. Now, just the thought of a Volvo X. Now, be careful because there's an enclave in the middle of that stretch of coast.
Okay.
For people who work with their hands, it's called Unahincha. It's a very big beach, right? Okay. And my good friend Crispy Wilkinson went in for a swim there once, right?
Yeah.
By mistake.
Crispy Wilkinson, would he be rich?
Of course, he's a friend of mine.
Crispy, what would that be short for? Christian?
No, that's his name.
Crispy.
Oh, it's on his name. Yeah, yeah. Crispy, on the Black Rock Road, we'd have names. Crispy went in for a swim in Unahincha once by mistake. Didn't he come out with a tattoo? Right?
Oh.
Glasgow Celtic.
It rubbed off on him.
We had to fire him out of the cannon in the Royal Cork Yacht Club. But then the rest of the coastline from Skull down to Crookhaven is for people like myself. So that'll give you an idea of the flavour of Cork.
Yes.
And that's, if I'm elected president this year, I'm going to bring it into the rest of Ireland.
Fair enough.
Flat segregated beaches.
Fair enough. What about Knocknaheeny?
Well, does the Noddies, as they're known in Cork, right? Jerry from the Noddies would be, they'd be his arch enemy. They'd be kind of Reggie's arch enemy, But also...
But you'd never cross paths with them.
Well, I have to, as president.
See, okay, you're president of all the people.
Well, this is the thing. Reggie's thing is he's going to make ordinary great again. MAGA, right? So he's going to go out and talk to the ordinary people of Ireland in their shit villages and poor council estates. But he's got to pretend to like them.
Yeah.
He's got to pretend to like tea and batter burgers.
This is one of the things I think people like Reggie. You just said it there, right? In their shit housing estates, you're able to say the things that are actually completely politically incorrect.
I could never say it as myself.
It's non-woke.
But
it's a total character. It's an Alan Partridge character.
Mario, you know that people are like that. You know that there are people say that kind of stuff.
You're the guy down the bar.
Yeah.
It's just you wouldn't allow him on radio.
Yeah. No, all the guys in the bar. you're going to the wrong bars.
You're the guy in the golf club bar.
Yeah.
And do you know what? They're not like that after one pint.
No.
It's just but they, after three
but
they
you
are.
See, golf club's gone now. It's paddle now.
Oh!
Yeah, tennis for idiots. No. Or cycling. No. Did you notice, by the way, that cycling clubs now, this is a friend of mine was telling me this in Cork, that they're now allocated, they're now kind of segregated by, this is a bit like Reggie, they're segregated by profession. So the doctors, the consultants.
Have their own cycling clubs.
And they have their own gear. They have their own minimum price for the bike, $3,000 graphite, minimum. And they have their own rules.
Of the road?
Of the way they, like the, you know, two abreast, but we let somebody through if they're in a Range Rover. But it's these, apparently the golf club thing, because sure, anyone can play golf now, right?
Yeah.
But it's cycling, because cycling is, you know, I went into a bike shop the other day, there was 10 grand bikes. Half the bikes in there were 10 grand bikes. Because people are, there's a lot of money around, as you might have noticed, for a while anyway. And cycling is the new kind of class signifier that you can kind of...
Is it, yeah?
Well, if you're going around in a Trek, you know those ones? I mean, that's like driving a Kia Sportage, like you're a nobody. Right? The Trek is the mid-range kind of, right? That's for project managers.
800 quid.
Yeah, that's for project managers at Newbridge or whatever, right? But there's bikes that I couldn't even begin to pronounce. They're Spanish, typically. They're graphite. They're lighter than your shoe.
Yeah.
And they're the ones to signify where you stand in the pecking order.
Those doctors you're talking about. See, Brian O'Driscoll was recently refused membership of Fitzwilliam, which I thought was the gases story.
No way.
Yeah, it's a story going around town. It was in the news. But he was refused membership of Fitzwilliam for some reason, you know. And Fitzwilliam is just like uber, you know, uber yeah. posh, you know.
He's not even a woman, though.
No, but I think it was because of women that he wasn't, because they were going to allow in, like,
oh, I see.
A larger proportion of women. And, okay. And he got taken off.
Oh, I see.
I remember being in Fitz, because I play a lot of tennis. So I'm, over the years, being in tennis. And it's the only place you'll see surgeons, things like that, right? But they behave themselves in a certain way. So they're the only kind of people that they'll be like this, right, in front of you, right, naked.
Okay. Right.
And everything, by the way, for listeners, my leg is up on the desk now.
He's got his pants on, but I don't know where this is going.
But he's totally naked and he's talking away to you and he's making complete eye contact with you. And his langer is just like swinging, right? Like whatever. Yeah, yeah. It could be small, generally is small.
Yeah.
But the point is, what they're saying to you is, I'm so comfortable with the amount of money that I'm worth. That,
yeah.
Like whether I'm small, big, or
have
medium,
a look at my bollocks. Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
It really doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, that goes unsaid between me and you. Yeah. I'm so fucking sorted.
Yeah.
Of course. And you're going, in your mind, you might be going, right, you're hung like a hamster. And he's going, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm an ophthalmic surgeon.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever, you know.
My mother is delighted with me. He's a kind of, yeah. Yeah, no, anyway, it's still there.
But anyway.
Still there.
Yeah. So that's fascinating. So the Norris, the Reggie would take care of them as well and have to talk to them anyway.
I was worried about this when I started doing, like, a lot of the successful videos that I would have had on social media if I have a go at the Norris, right? And I'm wary of it in a way because you'll get a lot of comments, some of them then people coming in about, oh look, unemployment and single mothers, right?
Yeah.
And it's
I gotcha.
Don't want that on
gotcha.
My stuff. Like that's tropes and stuff like that. But what I notice is the Norris kind of go, you gotta keep it going by. The yeah. Norris, you know, people talk about Cork being overly assured and self-confident. Huh. That's the Norris. The Norris are that soul of Cork. They think, maybe with some justification, that they're the best people in the world.
Mm.
So they don't mind. You're punching up. If you're taking the piss out of them, they'll punch you away, boy.
That's brilliant.
Down there in the marsh on the south side. You could flood. You'll be coming up here now to buy my fucking house.
Ironically, that you're punching up.
Yeah, like this is brilliant. It. And they don't care. And also they kind of get, they're glad that it's not po-faced. You know, and I think a lot of Reggie, you were saying, I can say things that possibly other individuals couldn't say. People are just glad of kind of, Yeah,
of course.
Just saying, this is stuff peak that's being said. And if you do it, as long as you do it, like, in a good sense that the joke's on Reggie, really.
Correct.
And I have had to correct myself a few times and go, no, that's just nasty, though.
Yeah.
That's just looking for a
correct.
Cheap laugh.
Like everything in life, it's the way that you do it.
It is. It's
right?
Tone. And
it's tone. Everything is tone.
Yeah.
And you have to do your best to judge the tone. And if you can get to a stage whereby, if you can get to a stage whereby your tone is 85-90% down the right thing, you're fine.
That's,
you
know, plenty. Oh, like, I'm still getting called a langer, a twat, a prick. What was the one the other day? I can't believe you're making money out of this shit.
Yeah.
You know, but that's 10%. That's 5%, really.
Yeah.
And I think because, and I was kind of careful over the years to kind of, and I've come away from the Norrie thing a bit as well, because it was attracting lots of people who wanted to have a dig at the kind of, you know, almost the poverty aspect of it.
Right.
That's the reality of the North Side in Cork.
See, somebody can weaponize your comedy.
Totally.
And I mean, they go like, so the tool down in Montanotti, some of them could weaponize your comedy.
Oh, a good few of them would. Yeah. And then they're jumping on there. And I'm going, you're not getting it if you think that's the joke.
Correct.
So I kind of, I've pulled. And also, I mean, for professional reasons as well, because Reggie, there's only so far you can go with jokes about Carrigaline. Now, in Cork, obviously, it's a byword for despair, right? But, you know, not everybody gets a joke that has the punchline of Carrigaline.
No.
So, and you were saying make it local. So now, because I'm touring Galway, Kilkenny, Dublin, Kerry, you can't be making jokes.
Yeah. So how does Reggie migrate into another
place?
Well,
the first thing to remember is, and it's, I think, you know, John Spillane, the songwriter. Someone
love John
Spillane. John, you're not going
anywhere. Brilliant.
But he said, John, you're not going anywhere writing songs about Ballincollig. And he said, people write songs about Phoenix, Arizona. So that's the starting point. People get, there's a Ballincollig in every town.
There's a universality.
There's a universality.
But still there is the problem of not everybody in Galway will get the punchline Carrigaline.
No, but if I do that joke, say, about the XC90 in Douglas, right, I make that Stillorgan if I do it in Dublin.
Okay.
Or I make it Barna if I do it in Galway.
Similar to what I do.
Precisely. And and it's a very easy way to do that, which is put out a post the week before you're going someplace and say, what's the poshest bit of? So you'll be looking for, and I'm actually going to do one now on Limerick. I've asked people, what's the, because I'm in Limerick in a couple of weeks, what's the poshest place in Limerick?
Yeah.
And then Reggie's going, oh Jesus, my gardener is a bigger house than that. You know,
go
on Google Maps, go for a walk around the streets.
I got a lot of laughs for Raheen recently.
Oh, really?
Just Raheen just seems to make people laugh.
Like I always find, because I'd make jokes about South Limerick, you know, it's an easy joke. And then I was driving up to Limerick to a gig recently. Like South Limerick is dripping in money. Like, you know, you could see.
Really?
You could see the land, you could see the size of the big lot. Like, old Anglo money, right? Mm. Reggie would be very impressed now. I mean, right. Obviously, yeah. You know, it's fucking still new money for his family, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's pre-Norman, but you know, you're looking at...
How far back can you go?
Fuck yeah.
How far back can Reggie go? Like,
my money is so
old. Is there
going
to be a point where Reggie despairs, hates the Normans as well, that they're new money?
Well, I had a gag, like, oh no, it was, yeah, no, the gag was...
Neolithic.
Reggie's family actually came from the ancient city of Atlantis just before it slipped into the sea, and his money is so old, it has pictures of Julius Caesar on it. But, no, and I actually like driving around because you kind of get a sense, you have a notion about places
right.
that you kind of, and then you go there, like Dublin today even, and you kind of, my grandfather's phrase, you have to go out and meet the people.
Mm.
You have to constantly kind of get out and give your prejudices a bit of a rinse.
Mm.
But South Limerick's lovely. And sure, you know, the other thing is, would you believe it, Marty Morrissey, I was talking about it recently, about counties that are connected.
Yes.
And he was saying, we'll go about Waterford. Like, one of the harder sells I had for Reggie was Waterford.
Yeah.
And I kind of, whereas Kerry, Limerick, that'll sell out no bother, right? And you know, Tipperary even. But cities are connected in bunches, which must be something to do with
Waterford is connected with Wexford and Kilkenny.
And Kilkenny, exactly. It's a different universe.
That's right.
And I've had people say it's a different sense of humour, which I'm not sure, but it's like that. It's that Cork and Kerry are the same. Like for all the banter and all that.
Yeah.
You know, Cork and Kerry are very, very similar. There's such a kind
of I think you're onto something about that. There is a little shift over to the East Coast a bit.
You're getting, I think Waterford is almost Leinster, kind of like,
I mean, Wexford. Some of Kilkenny, you know, is disputed with Waterford.
Yeah.
You know about that. There's a little dispute there.
I had that weird thing of when I was driving to Waterford, I ended up going through Kilkenny. I thought it was a disgrace. I didn't go through Leinster.
Exactly.
It's in Munster.
I know, yeah.
It's like Donetsk, like some of the...
Yeah, exactly. So there's a little bit of that. And Wexford as well. Wexford as well, yeah. So and less so Tipperary. The rivalry seems to be Kilkenny and Wexford more than Tip.
Yeah, well, Tip then would vary, but like there'd be, you know...
Tip
South
is massive.
Tip. It is. You even notice, I've come on the train today, you kind of notice I'm still in Tip.
I know.
Yeah.
Still
and
in
Tip. And the T things have gone back the other way already. Like,
yeah, I'm still in Tip.
Yeah, but Tip's great.
Yeah.
And like, I think Tip is the heart of kind of inland rural Ireland.
Yeah.
I think the Two Johnnies is almost an example of because they get it.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're in the heart of it there.
And there's no sea.
None.
Yeah.
None. And like, you're not going to the beach for the day.
No.
Because it's time to turn around the tidy bean by the time you get there.
That's it, yeah. So, so that's what Reggie does. And anything more to say about the presidency? Yeah, you've done that bit.
I've done that tour. Like, I, you know, what was kind of the biggest challenge I had was taking it from those kind of 2 minute videos into the phone onto the stage. You know, so like I was for 2 years, particularly all of COVID, really, there was no live shows anyway, so I'm sure you probably remember.
I know.
So I was this trying to, you know, everything was...
Okay. And so as a journalist and as a person who knows how to write, you must have known theoretically how you're going to take it to the stage.
I kind of thought I did, but actually what happened was the Everyman Theatre in Cork approached me and said, would you do a live show? Yeah. Sophie, who was the creative director there,
great,
was brilliant, approached me and said, well, would you do a live show? And I said, you know, because those, yeah, of course. I'm fucking hell, what am I going to do? Yeah. And she said, look, who would you like to direct it in theatre? And I knew one theatre director, Pat Kiernan, who, Corkadurka, the guy.
Oh, yeah, Corkadurka.
So
absolutely.
But Pat was in my class. I wouldn't have known Pat well, but he kind of contacted me through Reggie and kind of met him for coffee and had a chat.
So
Pat Kiernan, I said, Pat Kiernan? She said, great. So then Pat worked on the first two shows, both writing them and then getting them up on stage.
Mm.
And teaching me, and I'm sure now you know it, but like, you know, teaching me things like it's 70 minutes or 60 minutes or whatever. You've got to be changing every 10 minutes what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It was different, I suppose. If you're doing characters, it's one thing, but if it's just Reggie, so he'd be singing songs and I'd have people up on stage. Mm-hmm. I improvise a little bit, but once you get somebody up, people immediately go, okay, now there's a bit of danger in the room.
Totally.
And you could just feel it. People are giggling.
Yeah.
And like, I'll never forget, actually, there was a Northside, I go with this woman, a Northsider up in the Everyman once. And, you know, I went down to get her out of the crowd. Yeah. And she came and I said, Reggie. I said, what? I'm steaming. She was drunk, right?
Okay.
I'm steaming, Reggie.
Yeah.
I said, brilliant. Of course, she was the best. She was hilarious, right?
Oh yeah. The best one we've analysed this over the years. Usually, the best ones are if I see a person who is confident, right? I won't go near them. I don't go near them. What I want on stage is what you might call, to use your expression, the everyman. I want the everyman. I want the person who the last thing they want is to be on stage.
Right.
But having said that, if they ever do end up on stage, they'll do their best to get through it somehow.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing is also they,
and that's what the audience love.
They learn when they go up that it's not that hard to get an audience to react to you.
Yeah.
And they get one laugh or they get one round of applause and they're going to go, right, now I'm going to enjoy.
If you can show them as well by your nature that you're not there to humiliate them.
No, correct.
You're there to...
Look after them.
You'll stop them from falling through.
Yeah, yeah.
The net.
No, it's true. And I give them a little prize at the end as well. Oh, I've brought out a perfume, Notions by Reggie. So it captures my essence. Yeah, it's got some DNA, my DNA in it. It's got particles of a negligee as worn by Princess Diana. But I give them some of that to take away.
Great. And do you do that once or twice? In the show?
Oh, you do it three times. I have three different reasons.
Reasons to do.
The latest tour is Reggie's gone back to college.
What's the tour called?
It's called Reggie Old Lads. And he's back in college because he was turned down by a major, a German aristocrat. He wanted to have sex with her, but she was put off by the fact that he didn't have a third level qualification. As Reggie said, the Germans have a word for it. Go away and shite. Right? So anyway. Go away and shite. Yeah. So the idea is going back and just telling him about why he came back to college to study why Irish people have such low self-esteem and yet huge heads. So this is the paradox.
Right.
And so but it's great. All you need is a pretext to get the people up.
So how many, I know that, I remember a few years ago there I was down and I remember seeing the taxi driver telling me, after entertaining me again, telling me oh yeah, Reggie's doing five nights in the Everyman. I mean, you were doing five nights.
I did, yeah. But the first time I did, I did 17 or something. It was a run. It was a theatre run.
In the Everyman?
Yeah, but we only sold out about five. But then I couldn't go anywhere else. This was the problem. You know, the show was too big to tour. Yeah. And then I did another one, which was Reggie's Guide to Social Climbing. And again, we did that with Pat. And that was great. And we had a good few nights in the Everyman, maybe less that time.
Why the Everyman? Why not the Opera House?
Because the Everyman came to me first.
Okay, so you were just loyal.
I like them and
you got on with them and
they're great. And the Everyman has got, have you played the Everyman?
I've been at once, right? So I did a benefit night for St. Finbar's. Bars.
You got a player?
I did. That was great fun. Oh boy. Yeah. And of course, the typical thing happened. Magic always happens in Cork, or the threat of magic always happens in Cork. The idea of magic. They know they're magic. And it was like, we were about to go on and I had loads of bits ready and we were about to go on. It went, Mario? I think he's coming in tonight. And I went, what? Who? Roy. They say he's coming in. The word's gone around. He's in Cork. And he's like, he's in Cork. So what? He's always in Cork. Yeah. No, but they say he's coming in tonight. And that was the word.
The place was full.
Basically, the entire audience then was filled with this notion that he might be in.
Okay.
And he wasn't in. And he didn't come in. But it was just like, apparently he might be in.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you know, it's Jesus.
Well, Cork people are. I was in La Rochelle last year on holidays. You know, Ron O'Gara lives in La Rochelle, and he actually lives on the island Ile de Ré off La Rochelle.
That's right.
And I was cycling around. We were cycling around, and the number of times you'd hear Cork people, otherwise going, "Hi, Raji," or else kind of going, "That was definitely him. I saw him there. I saw him. That was Raj. That was definitely Raj."
Yeah, that's right.
About four or five people I overheard. They didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
Just going, I think I saw him, right? Yeah. Now, turns out Raj had posted, he was at Taylor Swift in Dublin. Yeah. He wasn't even on the island, as they say. Yeah. But Cork people had gone on their holidays and they were going around looking for Raj.
That's right. That's right. And they think they see him.
Raj search. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's right. Raj. Because the world is small.
Yeah.
In their world. Yeah. This world is small. I come from Cork. I'm in La Rochelle. Raj is here.
Yeah.
I just saw him.
And not only that, he's probably looking for me as well.
But he knows we're here.
He heard I'm here.
He's
we're
here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is why he went to Taylor Swift in Dublin. But
So there is that going on as well. Yeah. Raj, Jesus, that's hilarious.
Yeah. The Everyman is just...
The Everyman,
Because they're right there in front of you.
Right.
You know, you get...
And so did you do the Theatre Royal in Waterford or...
No, I haven't. I did the... What's the other place?
Garter Lane.
Garter Lane, which is lovely. I found it harder to sell. So I'm doing Kilkenny this time, which is just... I'm doing set...
Watergate, Langton's.
The set theatre in Kilkenny.
And Galway.
Rushing Dove,
right.
Galway. Then I'm all over the place. I'm going to Connolly's in Lepp. Have you been down in Connolly's in Lepp?
What's that?
It's exactly, you know, the Lepp is spelt Leap. It's a village between Clonakilty and Skibbereen.
Oh.
Connolly's in Lepp. It's an iconic kind of a music venue and they would have had like big names would have played there, you know, through the years. It's 20-seater out the back of the bar, but they've been there since the '70s. You look at the kind of photographs.
Nice, nice.
But it's a lovely venue.
I love John Spillane as well. I've always loved John Spillane, and I met John Spillane very early in my kind of career on Today FM, because all these musicians would come into Today FM and you'd see them play live. And I remember being very taken with John, and I always have been. And of course, the thing that made me be taken to him was his highly refreshing and unusual approach to himself. You know, so you go ask the inevitable stupid question of, how are you? I'm brilliant, Mario. I'm brilliant. And you go, okay, double take. And you go, that's good, madman.
And then
he goes, no, what do you mean? I seriously, I'm brilliant. Like, the recent thing I've written, it's just the fucking best thing I've ever done.
That's right.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. And I think it's just brilliant what I've done. And I love that kind of person.
Yeah.
I love the person. It's just unaffected. He meant it.
But it's nice to be around. Like,
yeah,
he's got energy. And
there's energy.
And you know, I've talked to him as well. I've met him a couple of times in the Today Show on RT, and he'd be there in the green room, and he was saying, you know, it's kind of difficult now because he can't make money off albums and stuff like that. So he's gigging.
Yeah.
And he's doing very well because he's such an attractive kind of an act.
Yeah.
But you know, that he still stays positive at a time when nominally his livelihood was kind of upended by Spotify and things like that.
There's a magic to his music as well.
Ah, but
like a magic.
Melancholic, you know, what is it? Johnny, don't go to Melancholic or whatever.
Magical realism.
But it's
Dunstore's Girl. What kind of a genius can come up with Dunstore's Girl? Or the Cherry Blossom, the Dance of the Cherry Blossom. Pat, I mean, you came from, just briefly on your background, I mean, I remember, you know, that you were in the Sunday Independent, so you were kind of a humorous columnist in the Sunday Independent, sort of featurey.
Yeah, that's right. It's a kind of thing, top five, I think. And that's where I kind of learned to write comedy. And then I wrote monologue gags for the Saturday Night Show.
Yes, that's right. And that was a tough gig because it's really hard. And it's really hard. And because you're basically writing jokes that have to work in two lines.
Yes, no context.
No context, just out of the blue.
Yeah.
In other news today, I see Princess Diana was followed by joke. It's really hard to
do. Simpsons had a gag once about, like, they were going to send somebody to hell, but said, no, that's not bad enough. So they sent them to a life of writing monologue jokes.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's and you know, it was different. They didn't want, say, Conan O'Brien can come out and do a 15-minute set so he can kind of build it.
Build.
Whereas they just wanted Brendan O'Connor was in the show. Brendan just to, you know, go.
That's the thing. Really, so Brendan isn't ostensibly a stand-up comedian.
Well, Jimmy Carr can do it.
But you have to do it with such chutzpah. You have to make a joke which is ostensibly not a great joke just sound, that's really quite good.
That was it.
Because you have to sell it.
And it had to be topical.
And Brendan often backed out of them.
Well, because it's hard to believe in it.
Yeah, because he was kind of going, no, because it's, let's be honest, he was kind of going, I'm here to present the show and I have to do hours to be, want me to do a few jokes. So if I'm not really feeling it, I can back out of the last reverse out of the joke. Yeah. That wasn't very good. And fucking Pat Fitzpatrick wrote that anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And here's his address.
Whereas Jay Leno would have fucking gone, marched straight through it and gone, I'm selling this fucking joke.
True.
And you're going, it's still a shit, it's not a great joke.
Then, do you know that Jay Leno used to actually trial his monologue in a comedy club in LA the night before the show?
Yeah, I do.
So, you know, like,
yeah,
it was,
I know.
It
but
was,
also,
yeah, but I know what you mean.
But also, but also, you'd be kind of going, dude, Twitterati or even people at home would be going fucking arty in their stand-up monologues jokes.
Yeah.
But having said that, then you tune in on Saturday night to watch Graham Norton. And you go, apparently the Queen was in town today.
Yeah.
Right? Picture of a horse.
Yeah, no, totally.
They're just making horse jokes.
Yeah, no,
so,
totally.
But everybody in Ireland go, fucking brilliant, Graham Norton.
Yeah.
Right? No. So we're full of this in Ireland.
Well, I thought
we're full of this in Ireland going, we're shit, right? And then you're tuning into horse jokes in England.
Well, you know the way, the best line I've ever read about comedy is that it's not what's being said, it's who's saying it as well. You know, and it's the context of it. But the monologue was, and then I did a bit of
exactly,
writing.
Exactly, Pat. I get accused of being far funnier than I am all the time. Do you know that idea of you're a comedian, so people almost start laughing before you come into the room?
Yeah, which
that's a fucking bonus, isn't
it? That fucking helps.
I'm getting away with Scott fucking murdered there.
I very often turn around and walk out because that's as good as it's going to get. Thank you. Good night. I'm out.
Well, yeah, the original, I mean, no cheer is as big as the initial one.
Yeah.
Because everything that they've invested to you is now put out there.
That's right.
And you can only be a disappointment after that.
Almost. But yeah, so I mean, I know I did a bit of work on your show as well. And all, like,
yes,
as hard as any of this, and that was quite hard too, but that was better because you could build a sketch
You could at least have a target.
You could have a target, and we could build a sketch. Yeah. But like all those things, and I look back at the monologue was just great for this is how you land a joke. This is this is the best way.
Science wise, it's amazing.
Ordering these words so that you land a joke and how you get away with it and how much you give away and where you think the audience, where you're leading the audience to go,
perception,
and then where you're delivering.
Misdirection. And
you learn it.
But also the value of syntax and the value of prepositions.
Completely.
Unbelievable.
And a word, when you're only a two sentence joke, a word makes all the difference.
Correct.
So I was able to learn all that.
Yeah. And Jimmy Carr would be really into that because
completely.
His jokes are two liners.
Yeah.
A lot of his jokes are two liners.
Yeah.
You know,
so. And I think the other thing is he takes stuff out because you can sense his are so tight that he's taken every surplus word out. That's his shtick. Yeah. But that's great then when I came to do 2 minute videos because you're kind of going,
you learn to become economical.
You learn to and write it out. Don't go put the camera in front of yourself and hope for the best.
When you write it out, then are you just remembering it? Then
I used to write it out all word for word. Mm. Now I cycling is the key thing that I do in a way. So if I go cycling, I
practice it.
I comes in my head and it's all there in the sequencing, and then I go and maybe try and type it out. But it's to get the sequence. Say this. And say this and finish. Yeah. And then get rid of half of it because that's too long. Because, you know, reels now are the way to go. A minute is probably where you want to be now with a video. It used to be 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's that thing of thought.
You've built up a followership. On Instagram and X.
It started with formerly X, formerly Twitter. Mm. But that's kind of useless now. It's like I've over 100,000 followers between Twitter, X, Twitter,
and Instagram.
Facebook, Instagram and TikTok now. But it's TikTok and Instagram are where
Facebook
is where the growth is. TikTok's great.
Yeah.
I think TikTok's brilliant.
Yeah. I enjoy Dave McSavage's videos about how many tickets he sold.
Yeah, it's brilliant. But it's such a brilliant piece of marketing.
It is.
And he completely throws himself into
it. Absolutely burns himself to the ground.
Yeah. And then you kind of say, I'd nearly go see him live.
Definitely. Yeah. Out of spite.
Yeah, no.
See him out of spite.
Great marketing, though. It's brilliant.
It is, but it's
you'd have to be a certain type of person to be comfortable. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, because the fact is, it's true as well.
Yeah,
because you can't sell that as a lie.
That's right.
It only works if it's true.
That's true. Yeah,
and Irish people would not forgive you if that wasn't true.
Yeah,
if they went to see you and they said he only said he sold 20, this fucking place is packed, I'd be angry at him.
Yeah,
I wanted to come to the place with 20 people.
Which is what Dave McSavage is always. We love failure. We want to come along. We're willing to pay money to see you.
Exactly right. Exactly
right. To have two seats to sit on just so you feel bad.
Exactly right.
And I just say before we go, actually, tour tickets, reggieblackrockroad.com is the place. And I am coming to a town near you. So
reggieblackrockroad.com.
Is where you'll find
it. And Reggie is hilarious. And I've been following him for a good few years. And I would advise you to go out and see him because, you know, if you've seen his videos, and I know this guy can deliver on stage as well. And judging by what I've just found out about his stage act, is it still 70 minutes or?
Yeah, 70, yeah. Break in between so you can have a few pints.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, a little break.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. A few pints. Okay, thanks, Pat.
Thanks, Mario.
And my thanks to Pat Fitzpatrick for coming in and talking to me about Cork, all things Cork, and Reggie from the Blackrock Road. And, of course, you'll be able to catch Pat on tour around the country if you go online and check him out. My thanks, of course, to deluxebathrooms.ie, our great new sponsor. You'll find them at Dundalk Retail Park or Little Island in Cork, or of course deluxebathrooms.ie. And my special thanks, of course, to you for listening to this podcast. And if you can, tell one other person about this podcast. Contact me personally at mariorosenstock@gmail.com. I'll see you same time, same place next week. Take it easy.